This is the first time we're going to send humans to the moon, and we're going to have humans in low Earth orbit. That is awesome.
I was talking to someone very close to Elon Musk, and this is in the first Trump administration, and they said, no, they're really going to launch the Mars mission from the dark side of the moon, so it can't be looked at by a lot of our enemies, but also it's a better launch point, and also it's protecting the craft and facilities from solar radiation. And they've already got 3D printers up there. They've already got a base up there with a secret space program. And that when Trump wins re-election, they're going to announce it and do it. You notice Musk suddenly said, now we're not launching from the Earth. We're launching from the dark side of the moon a month ago.
Exactly. Well, that's 6-7 years ahead. That's the kind of intel. This is part of the problem, which is we're getting the intel much, much later. And there's this gap in time. So we talk about things like the release of the UFO file. This is scheduled.
Eight brilliant minds, each one inching closer to unlocking zero-point energy, plasma fusion that could render fossil fuels obsolete, or the anti-gravity secrets allegedly reverse-engineered from crashed non-human craft, have met mysterious ends or vanished without a trace. Their deaths and disappearances clustering in recent months amid rising whispers of massive revelations.
I've been 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I'll just tell you this, if they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up, you'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers. And we need to, but you know, it's never going to get, and unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up. And the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal and I don't take risks.
This is why Congress is working hard for whistleblower protections, because we want people to feel safe to come out and have a conversation. And right now they don't feel overly safe. They've seen some of the tactics and techniques that were applied to try to keep people quiet in the past. Let me say this in general terms. People say, oh, well, the government would never kill anybody to protect a secret. Try going to Area 51 and look at the signs on that chain link fence where it says lethal force authorized. You cross that fence and they can kill you dead. Okay? So the government can, under certain extreme cases, under certain extreme situations and conditions, they can do whatever they need to do to protect national security, and they will.
But I was standing behind an alien in a spacecraft, just a small one. Could I ask you a question? And he said, okay. And I said, how do you get from here to Alpha Centauri? We can't do that. The only thing that we think about is I have to go really fast for a really long time. Can you use what information I have in my head and try to explain it to me? And he said, well, do you know what a Rubik's Cube is? And I said, oh, yeah, my son can do them in 2 minutes. He says, okay, so imagine a Rubik's Cube, but not necessarily just the six sides. Just imagine the concept of a Rubik's Cube. And I said, okay. Now imagine on each one of the tiles on the Rubik's Cube has a chart of the elements. And he says, so what you do to get to Alpha Centauri is you just twist the cube. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I told you you wouldn't understand. And he said, when the periodic table occurs in a different place, you're at that place. And that's just a very crude explanation. But you have to stop thinking about go that way for a long time, very fast.
Describe the very first time you were teleported.
It's scary in a way. I mean, you don't really know, okay, is this evil? Is this good? What is this? What do I do with this? How do I deal with it? I was on the phone. Oh, my God, what's happening? And I was landed. And landed about 40 miles away in a ditch outside of a Baptist church in a little tiny town just where you cross over the border.
coming up in just the next month or so. It looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
You're listening to The American Journal with Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins. Watch it live right now at band.video.
It is April 6, 2026. I am Rex Jones, joined by Tim Tompkins here to ring in your morning. We've got a phenomenal selection for you. We've got a deep dive. We've got news and current events, and we've got Gary Cardone joining us here in the third hour. How do you feel about that,
Tim? I feel amazing. Gary is one of those guys that I have been in spaces on with Suleiman.
Right.
Grateful for Suleiman to help me get in touch with him. He is the brother of Grant Cardone,
right?
Which I'm sure a lot of people know about who that is as well. But Gary has his own history. He has his own investments. He's a very well-established entrepreneur on his own.
And he's very interested and active in the news space. And this is the thing about being back online. Like, I wasn't on Twitter for forever, and then I got back on X, I guess it's called, but I still refer to it as Twitter, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you start getting in these spaces. You start hearing these people talk, right or wrong. Like, they're in there all the time. They're making predictions. They're actively involved. Everyone seems to be monitoring the situation nowadays.
Every single day we got something new.
Right.
Every day feels breaking, man. I really feel like every day is a new day when it comes to these situations. And it's crazy because, you know, you told me probably like 4 months ago, you know, everything was kind of like calm and there wasn't a lot happening. But you're like, as soon as something happens, you're going to see an explosion of activity online.
Well, sure. And that's normal in media and world events in general. Like, things will ebb and flow, yeah. Right? And you'll get to a point like right now where it seems like, and it doesn't just seem like there is, we're about to get into it, there's breaking news every 5 seconds. But we get kind of used to in the kind of the, like the lull slowdown period where we were actually on our show breaking down causality going decades back. Yeah. And I was saying, just wait for it to happen. Just wait for it to happen. Now, you were actually more correct because you predicted it would be happening in the new year. And we were talking about this last year.
Yeah.
I thought this was all coming.
Well, there was two things we were trying to make predictions on. It was Venezuela and then the Iran conflict.
Right. Right.
I remember for the Venezuela conflict, we were like debating whether it was going to be by the end of the year, new year. I was like, I think the Venezuela thing's going to happen like right at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And then the Iran conflict, I think we both had a consensus that it was going to happen within the next couple of months.
I like the people that say nothing ever happens because, spoiler alert, things have been happening. I want to go ahead and read this before we get into the other Trump tweet selections from the past couple of days because it's unrelated to foreign policy. Well, I mean, the anchor baby thing is foreign policy, but it's not related to the war. Let's go to the new Trump tweet. It's too bad that the Supreme Court can't watch and study the Mark Levin show. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Tonight on the birthright citizenship scam. If they saw it, they would never allow that money-making hoax to continue. They should have used their powers of common sense for the good of our country. They failed miserably on the tariffs, needlessly costing the U.S. hundreds of billions of dollars in potential rebates for benefit haters. Ooh, it's always about the haters and the scammers.
Always about
okay.
The haters, brother.
Why? Don't do it again. The country can only withstand so many bad decisions from a court that just doesn't seem to care.
Okay, so I think he's saying this because he knows it's going to get turned down.
Sure.
I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, this has been something that has existed for generation after generation. And I know where he was intending was
right.
To be one of the reasons why he was running a campaign on to stop the immigration.
Right.
And specifically, he's targeting like South America and Mexico.
I just think it's interesting that he wants all this goodwill to get all these political things done. He wants people to be receptive towards him and his ideas. And he just goes around the world and kills people.
Yeah.
Like that's what's interesting to me. And you got to keep in mind, the concept of political capital, Tim, like you think about the political capital that Trump had from people like us in 2024. We're like, yeah. Hell yeah, please. Anything, everything. Let's like do what you say.
Help us.
We love you. Yeah. And then you get in there and you either spend that on the policies you want to get passed domestically, or you can spend it on a giant war. So what?
Well, and he's trying to get a win here, right?
Sure.
I think he sees the writing on the wall. Everybody knows the midterms are coming up.
Right.
And Trump is like, we got to win somewhere here. We overestimated the Iran conflict. Right. We need to be able to do something that people feel like, oh, I actually did something that I ran on to begin with.
Sure.
So that's really how I see this.
You could say I ran into a problem. you could say something like that. There's a ton of puns that you could do. I want to go to this ultimatum from Trump. This is the White House tweet. Remember when I gave Iran 10 days to make a deal, open up the Hormuz Strait? Time is running out. 48 hours before all hell will rain down on them. Glory be to God. And that's not even the crazy one, ladies and gentlemen.
Did this come after or before?
April 4th. Okay, this is an April 4th tweet, and I believe the 48-hour timeline expires today. Mm-hmm. So like we've entered that time now where it's real wonky, and like these ultimatums, Levin will come out, Lindsey Graham will come out and say, this is what we need. So that's coming from that faction.
And then so here's the thing. It always feels like the treadmill keeps going, and it's like the marathon's almost there. The Iran conflict's going to end, and he gives a new date like, oh, you've got 48 hours. You've got 24 hours. Sure. You got 72 hours. Because now after this one, you've got the tweet that talks about him saying Tuesday is the big day.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into it. Let's go ahead and get into it now. I want to show the New York Post article. I think that does the best job. We can also throw the tweet up as well. I'm going to throw this over here if y'all want overhead shot. Iran vows devastating and widespread retaliations if Trump follows through with fresh strikes. Here is the original Trump threat. Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped up in one in Iran, Trump posted on True Social. There will be nothing like it. Open the effing strait. And this is the thing. It's like, we're not in middle school. Like, you don't. It's like, ooh, the F word. Like, so a lot of the base does like that sort of thing. Open the effing straight, you crazy B word, or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah.
That's my president.
That's my Trump.
You get them.
Praising Allah on Easter.
I know.
Very interesting for the Christian president to be doing that. And even stranger to be mocking the worldwide and American Muslim population.
That's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah. I'm like, look, it's fine if you want to play hardball. But when you mock Allah, there's one thing Muslims don't play around, and it's their religion. So this is just going to make them double down.
He wants them to attack. He wants them to do something that gives him the excuse to do ground troops. The threats from both sides were lobbed just as Iran and the U.S. received a draft proposal late Sunday calling for a 45-day ceasefire and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Now, here's the thing. When you hear about stuff like this, I see it promoted on Twitter all the time. They're like, the Iranians, they want to make a deal. They're all being murdered. And it's like, no, all the other nations like the UAE, like Turkey, like Pakistan, they desperately want both peace so that their markets can be good, and they want the credit for ending this.
Yes.
So they're putting forward all these different proposals. Your thoughts?
And you know what's even wild is you look at just what's happening here domestically. Like, your dad covered this yesterday.
Right.
He's putting out a lot of tweets. He's putting out a lot of good reports. Man, the internet is just a bunch of like hounds. They're like, your father's a traitor.
Yes.
How dare he? And I do a comment. I'm like, guys, you're not even listening to what Alex is trying to say here. He's trying to get you to see the bigger picture. Your father has always been anti-war. Sure,
absolutely.
And there are people who want him to be a neocon and support the war. And your dad sees the bigger picture like the rest of us.
Well, isn't it so terrifying, though, Tim, that you see, like, maybe you think people all on the left or whatever, people crazy blue hair, like 29 genders, maybe that's a little kooky. Then you look over here now on, quote unquote, our own side, and you have people that literally call for countries to be glass, countries to be destroyed.
Yep.
You know, ultimately, civilians to be killed, and you're like, well, I know that a lot of Americans, hopefully the majority of Americans, are peace-loving and sane and want a good future for everybody, but there is this large minority of the population, and it's both left and right, that are just nutballs, and they don't see the consequences of the actions of their policies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. They go, well, you're attacking my favorite sports team. You're attacking my favorite movie star. You know, Trump's the guy I like. It's like that guy that called in, like, my buddy Trump is in a fight. And it's like, okay, well, like, when has he ever been your friend? When has he been a friend to us? He promised to be our friend. But just because someone says they're going to do something nice for you doesn't actually mean they've done the thing. We actually demand results.
Well, I mean, he had plenty of times to help in terms of the things that your family has been dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing. Beyond any of that, we're all just human beings. Just stop the killing, Trump.
Yeah.
Just bring our boys home. Just declare victory and move on. And you know what? Maybe we can, at some level, crimes have to be accounted for. At some level, maybe we can move past this. But there's no way to do that once you do ground invasion.
So with the bridge thing came after he made this tweet, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can we where are we at with that?
All right. I'm going to go ahead and read this. And let's go to the Alex Jones tweet. Imagine if Iran bombed and destroyed the Golden Gate Bridge in California. What would you call the act? The USA, Israel, the aggressors, which they are, bombed and destroyed Iran's tallest bridge, the B1 Bridge. This will only unify the Iranian people against Israel and the United States. This is not what Trump ran on, and this is not what we voted for. You see the huge response here. This gets like 4.5 million views, and it just has oodles and oodles of comments. And there are just so many people in here saying like the quartering. He said, my dad's simping for Iran. It's like, well, this is civilian infrastructure, bud. You know this is a war crime, right? We're not simping for anybody. We don't want to be the aggressors because we want to have the moral high ground. We love this country. You're the ones that don't.
No, but like I look at it and I'm like, the people who are encouraging this, they know they have no immediate impact to them.
Right.
So they're like, oh, I can take this position because I live here in the comfort of America.
Yes.
And my nice cozy home. I get to go to sleep with my little snuggies and my pillows.
No. You wake up in the onesie, you put on your little twinkle toe slippers, and then you get in like the giant loaded F-250 and you go to Chick-fil-A and you get like 10 sandwiches and you pass out drunk.
And at the red light, he's sitting there, we need to bomb the Iranians more.
Yes. On X, on TikTok, spurging out, saying they love the president at any cost. Oh, look at that. Love you, Dad. You're a real one. Love you too, champ.
And so, yeah, you see, some people are like, Alex has always been anti-war. That is a good statement. And then other people. OK, so this is where the quartering steps.
All right.
Can you pause it there?
Let's pause it there. I struck value through some of the most insane shit ever said. Sorry. Quite honestly, a lot of it ended up true. LOL. But this whole simping for Iran thing. So pause it right here. We'll just talk about it just for a second. This whole simping for Iran thing. I'm going to read out my dad's tweet for you again. Imagine if Iran bombed and destroyed the Golden Gate Bridge in California. What would you call the act? The USA, Israel, the aggressors bombed and destroyed Iran's tallest bridge, the B1 Bridge. This will only unify the Iranian people against Israel and the United States. This is not what Trump ran on, not what we voted for. That's all objectively true. So where in here is there simping for Iran? Can you show me where he's trying to lick the Ayatollah?
Well, I mean, look. Simping for Iran means you have to be for the war. You have to be for bombing civilians. You have to be for escalation of this conflict. And the thing that I was talking about yesterday, and I made a comment, I'm like, guys, the bigger picture here is if we don't de-escalate soon,
right,
the larger implications are going to be felt at home. You're not even thinking about the people who are already struggling from all the mess that the Biden administration did just 4 to 5 years ago.
Yes.
Those prices haven't come down. The only thing you saw come down were the gas prices that's on, you know, the gas station sticker tag. But everything that happened with food, everything that happened with the inflation of the housing market, none of that has actually come down to a level. So we're only going to keep going up. And just keep piling and compounding the mess that we're already in.
And you know, what we like to do here is we like to break it down for you guys. And I was sitting in there getting prepped for the show and Tim walks in and Tim, you just showed me like some incredibly phenomenal information.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to get into that maybe next segment. So we have full time for it. I just want to give people a little hint here. We're talking about the oil tankers and the speed they move. I didn't even know it's basically a bicycle.
Yep.
Right. So they're
I think
it's
like 15 knots or 12 knots.
So they're all
super slow.
There are all these global catastrophes that are happening in slow motion and we haven't even really felt the full effects of it. And these people in the comment section, they think that they have a magic wand to just control the earth and just make everything work out. When you even disturb or make one of these systems tremble, it's bordering on global crisis and we're already far past that. Yep. That's what we're upset about. And you look at someone like I see Mario Newfall getting hate from people and all I see is a guy being positive trying to stop the war.
I mean, Mario has always tried to put out as much news and good news as possible.
Right.
And that's what I've seen from his channels.
I know that we've been a little bit blackpill, but I want to keep in mind, we're always praying for hope. We want this to stop.
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel like a lot of the time, like, we hate Empire, of course, and we don't like illegal wars, but a lot of the time people are just like, we're going into the black pit of hell. Mm-hmm. Let's avoid that. Let's just get them to pull out. Trump always chickens out. Why can't he do it again? Right? Like, he hasn't gone in already. Like, Lord have mercy and God forbid and everything. Hopefully he doesn't today. But I see this honestly as a good sign. I thought they would have already done it.
And so I think why your dad has been commenting on the state of Trump's physical health,
sure,
is because there's no logical conclusion to how somebody could just continue to double down and triple down,
yes,
and just continue to bring us closer and closer
things every
and
five
say
seconds.
Different things. And it's like borderline schizo in certain aspects, not calling him schizophrenic.
Well,
but
what
again,
what does the word schizophrenic mean, Tim? Do you know?
No, go ahead.
It means split head. So he literally is schizophrenic. He says one thing, he does another thing. That's literally textbook definition of what schizophrenia is to the audience. Mm-hmm. It's what the Latin means. It means split head. And we look at all of this. We see Trump and we see a guy that's 79 years old that's having these problems. And we go, okay, so we're the people that report the news. We watch Biden for 4 years basically be dead. And now we can't talk about something that we're seeing that's an issue. You know, so we have to be real here. We can't play favorites with the people that we like. We got to cover the topics as they come.
Well, so let's say this. For the people who are defending Trump, they're defending all the actions that are coming here. Let's just play a hypothetical situation, okay? Let's say it's no longer Donald Trump doing this,
right,
and we just slide Biden or Kamala into this situation.
Right.
Do you think all of those people who are defending the actions would still be defending the actions if it was somebody who was
no.
on the left?
And you can see the evidence of that. You can see the evidence. Everyone, all the cat turd, Eric Doherty saying, oh, if Kamala's here, she's going to take us to war. We don't want war. So did you not want war or did you just not want Kamala?
And that's
what we got to decipher here.
That is what we have to decipher. And the whole point here on InfoWars, and Rex and I, we always talk about this. It's being ideologically consistent.
Right.
Because if you just move your feelings or your opinions based on the flow
your
of the news.
Your opinions are your feelings.
Yeah. I mean, it makes you not have a backbone and you can't be considered legitimate because then you don't actually stand on anything.
Right. You don't stand on business, as they say.
Right.
Because there's no business to stand on and your positions are your emotions.
Right.
I feel like that would be a great way to surmise it. We see a lot of that.
I mean, and we know who said that earlier when he came on and debated you. He basically said, well, I just, you know, it's how I feel. And it's like, okay, so you have no real opinion that stands the test of time?
Well, I also like the assumption, and this comes from a lot of people that are older. I love people that are older, but it's the concept of young man, you don't know how the world really works. It's all bad. All our leaders are just, you can't accept good things out of them. Where does that come from? Where does that come from exactly? Thinking that things can never get better and they can only perpetually get worse. And we have to be happy when it slows down.
I mean, it's what social media wants you to feel now.
Yes.
Every single moment that you stay on this algorithm and they keep you in the loop of this like doom and gloom.
Yes, yes.
Somebody's making money off of advertisement. Somebody's making money off of just the fear mongering and getting you to like feel anxiety and go and panic buy. So when people are speaking out and trying to get you to like wake up, smell the roses, realize this isn't a good thing, it goes against what the dark side of the internet wants you to do.
And what this whole broadcast really is about is taking control over your own life and giving yourself the power of having the information so you don't actually have to rely on one of these tainted mainstream media news sources. And that empowers you in every aspect of life, physically, mentally, everything. Because, you know, you're a free human being out there in the world living your life, doing what you got to do, not what some government tells you to do or not what some company tells you to
do. And the last thing I'll say on this, you look at like CNN, they're like, Trump is a dictator and he's the worst man alive. And they just try to like swallow up every ounce of like negativity they can put. And then you go on Fox and they're like, glorious Trump,
the dear leader.
He's doing the best thing ever. And it's like, no, guys, you both have it wrong. Okay.
Sure.
There's nuances to this. There's not, let's not take this to extremes.
The reality is that he's not even that important. That's what the real reality is. Mm-hmm. And we've had people like Simon Dixon on, and we've discussed this at length. Ultimately, he's middle management at best, and what he represents is the continuation or end of the empire.
Right.
So when we point things out about him, we critique him. It really is like, you know, Uncle Sam. Right, like Sam. he is a representation of the physical representation, a big, powerful, but old, bloated, weakened, like rich white guy. Like that's it's right. Literally the archetype of what America right. has become.
And then, you know, if we just think about Iran in this conflict, they are their own individual mentality, okay? And sure. We're seeing that Iran is that bowing. Well, yeah. We're seeing, let's read this article, because Iran vows retaliation.
Yeah,
and this is a retaliation to the bridge, right?
Yeah, well, they're saying if there are further attacks, so this is the thing, they're already putting up with a lot. But I think this is following the ultimatum. Maybe we can show some images from here, because I've already read this one. We can look at what they've done already. If we can look at that tanker system there that's been destroyed, as well as smoke billowing from a vessel following explosion from the port of Bandar. The president has so far been cautious about hitting power plants in Iran, amid fears it could inhibit the country's ability to recover after the conflict ends. But they come out and say, we didn't even have the tweet for today. They come out and say, we want to send them to the Stone Age. Well, how is that legitimate? How does that make other people around the world want to make deals with us, think that we're friendly and safe? If I'm an American and I want to go vacation somewhere, if I go vacation over there, the people are going to hate me because they know they're probably going to bomb their country. In the same way, when the Israelis go around, like a lot of the times they're getting shunned from places because they're like, you know, like, hey, they're your oil embargo. Like, come on.
Well, and the bigger problem here is the governments are not always representative of the people
sure.
who live in the country itself.
Oh, no, absolutely.
The same struggles we have here when we went through the Biden administration. Now the people are feeling buyer's remorse for Trump and everything. The same thing is happening for these other countries, too. Every Iranian does not agree with what the Ayatollah does.
And so
when you see a guy call in here and be like, those Muzzies, and I'll kill 50 of them,
those
throat
pigs.
Cutters.
That's
and then,
right. That's
yeah,
right.
And he's calling them pigs. And it's like, dude, that's not the same as the people. They're not the ones going out there and doing, you know, the terrorist
attacks.
Well,
let's just do a little bomb experiment. Or not bomb experiment. Let's do a little thought experiment. Let's just say I want to bomb the entire continent of Africa because I don't like them. Is that a joke? Is that a funny ha-ha time? You see what I'm saying? Is that, oh, la, la, la. Now, imagine if we were actually doing that. Oh, wait, we are. We're bombing Nigeria. So, like, it's so insane. It's so hypocritical. All these people are complete fruit balls, power-mad fruit balls, as my dad would say. But we're going to cover that and a lot more. I want to read you a little bit about the bridge itself and let you know it is civilian infrastructure. This is one other thing we were seeing people say, oh, no, it's not. Oh, no, it's not.
I'm still confused because okay. I'm seeing people say it is. I'm seeing some people say it's not. I know the bridge has not been fully built yet, right?
Yeah, it's the unfinished B-1 bridge in Karaj, Iran. It was attacked by the U.S. with two missiles, causing it to partially collapse. 8 people were killed and at least 95 are wounded. Now, that's a light day for us. According to the Iranian news agency, it was a double-tap attack. And the double-tap attack occurred once first responders had arrived to assist victims of the first strike. This is not a military landing zone. They're not bringing missiles across there. This is an unfinished bridge, and it's the tallest bridge in Iran. It's a civil engineering masterpiece. That's the purpose of it. Like,
okay.
they targeted their tallest bridge for a reason.
And that's why your dad is making the equivalency to the Golden Gate Bridge because, I mean, one, it looks like the Golden Gate Bridge, but it's also
right.
a status for these
people. And what's the quickest way to make a terrorist, Tim?
Bomb somebody's house.
Yeah, it's bomb somebody's house. Quickest way to make a terrorist is almost like we want them to hate us. It's almost like that's
wow,
our
look
calculation.
Look at those photos.
Truly incredible. But we're going to be coming back with this and more after the break. Tim's got a phenomenal little deep dive. And then we got the major deep dive for you being joined by Gary Cardone in the third hour. You aren't going to want to miss this. I want to tell you right now, if you're not taking methylene blue, we got the best. TheAlexJonesStore.com, methylene blue, methylene red, T3 trifecta iodine, the phenomenal power plant and methyl drive products that I created. You're going to want to go there right now and check out the deals.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites
for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigly, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research. And then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding, eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Ringing in the morning with you. We hope you're enjoying it as well. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins here on the Gray Area. We've got a lot of great news to get back to you with. We've also got Gary Cardone coming on in the third hour. Tim, take it away.
Yeah, so we're talking a lot about Trump. We're talking a lot about the Iran side of things and the right. retaliation. But I want to bring this conversation to what the impact is across the world. Because it's getting really serious and it's getting real, okay?
Sure.
And when I look at it, we got to look at the bigger picture of the oil and the shock, because the shock,
slow motion trend,
yeah, because right now what we saw is we saw the spark or the flash of the nuke, but we didn't actually see or feel
the aftershock.
And the aftershock wave hasn't even hit us yet.
It hasn't even hit us yet. Right. So I want to play number one, which kind of shows how slow the tankers traveled that actually deliver the oil, because I had no clue about this.
Sure.
Let's get into it. let's play that, because this is going to put this into perspective for you guys.
This is a map of global oil flows put together by JP Morgan. Don't worry about all this text. We'll explain it in a minute. These red lines show the oil coming out of the Middle East, going out to the rest of the world. This is the stuff that's been cut off. Here it is back in December before the war. There it goes. The oil is flowing. But remember, it moves at the speed of a bunch of bicycles. So now it's January, and the oil is just finally reaching parts of Asia and Europe. And we're into February before it hits the U.S., and then it hits refineries in South Korea that then sends it on down these pink lines to Australia and New Zealand. So when the war starts and the oil stops flowing, there's actually still a ton out there, taking its long, lazy little bike ride around the globe. That's a big part of why things seem weirdly normal. For most countries, the oil shutdown has not reached us yet. We're still getting shipments that were sent out before the war started. So when do those shipments stop? If you look at that map again, it says most deliveries to the U.S. will stop around April 15th. In Europe, they stop around April 10th. Asia, April 1st, so it's just getting started. But here, in parts of Africa, it's March 20th. We're already well into it. And to be clear, these places aren't out of oil. Every country has emergency stockpiles. So let's see what that looks like. Gas lines are the first thing to show up. Not enough fuel at the pump. And these are already everywhere. South Africa, Pakistan, Vietnam, a bunch of places. In Laos, they ordered schools closed for one day a week so there'd be fewer people on the roads. The Philippines and Ethiopia did the same thing for government offices. And Sri Lanka is making everybody take every Wednesday off of work now. There are also restaurant curfews, mass flight cancellations, air conditioning shutoffs. It's not that these countries are running out of oil. I mean, they are, but that's not the real issue exactly.
What do you think about this?
Sounds a lot like COVID to me. You know how we're leaving all that behind, then we hear, oh, 2 weeks to stop the spread. It sounds like 2 weeks for us to fix the oil market, you know, and it's been a lot longer than 2 weeks. And that's the thing. I'm just thinking about this. We got to do a full deep dive on it because it really is a crazy topic. How many ships are there in a full like rotation, you know, like making the trip, going back, doing whatever?
I have no
idea. And what's the time it takes for each one of those ships to complete a rotation? I wrote that down. We got to do it.
Yeah, we'll definitely cover that. But if you catch what he said at the beginning, these oil tankers are not like speedboats. They're moving at the speed of a bicycle, like no more than like 15, 20
super
miles.
Tanker.
Super. So, I mean, you're talking about months. And so he's right. Like, we just haven't felt the impact, and people aren't hitting panic because there's still oil that's still traveling.
Sure.
So when I look at this whole thing, Rex, I'm thinking, okay, we need to get out of our ignorance in the bubble and realize that, you know, just because we're a little comfortable here at home,
yes,
does not mean that the rest of the world is not suffering. And here's the thing. Everyone got behind the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency and let us be
safe.
At top because it
yes.
was safe, right? Yes. But they didn't expect for everything in their country to be dictated by yes. an outside circumstance. So just let's take a hypothetical. Imagine if the roles were reversed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly people said, oh, you're going to have extremely long gas lines right. here in America. Right. You're going to have schools shutting down. You're not going to be able to fly to see your family this week because jets don't have enough fuel. What do you think happens to the average person and what they're going to say?
Oh, it's just absolutely going to obliterate people, and it's already obliterating people. Let me tell you, I got a flat tire on my Toyota Tacoma, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it fixed today. I'm going to get it towed, do whatever, and I'm driving my granddad's F-150 around. I can't afford to drive the F-150. I can't afford to go to the gas station and fill it up. Are you crazy? It's like $130 to fill it up, okay? And filling up my Tacoma now is like $60 to $70.
Yes.
That's the thing that matters to the people at home. It doesn't matter to the people at home that we're on some sort of religious crusade. It matters that they need to be able to afford to live.
Yes. And here's the thing. The things that you're seeing here are only like 10% of the feelings that a lot of these other countries who were already struggling prior to this conflict have to deal with.
Right.
So now they already had struggling economies. Like Europe is already... They have negative GDPs. I mean, Greece. How many times did the IMF have to bail out Greece?
That's a good statistic. I don't know. Probably multiple.
It was multiple times, right?
Let's think about India for a second, because India is really getting schlacked by this. They were kind of getting over on the Russians. They're buying the cheap oil to get around sanctions. They're paying like $54 a barrel. And then the other oil they're getting from the Strait of Hormuz, that goes away, and they have to start buying it at a premium from Russia at over $100 a barrel.
Well, and here's the thing. Russia, why wouldn't they do that? I mean, right. They've been sanctioned for a very long time. And they're like, we want our money
back.
And
it's also a kind of revenge.
It is revenge.
The Indians had made a good deal beforehand.
It is revenge. Yeah. But even though we have the Iranian oil and we have the Russian oil and you have oil reserves that are being released to the rest of the world, that only delays it.
Right.
Those aren't permanent fixes. And so this shockwave is going to happen in this next
video. No. I know you got another video. Tim is such a liberal, and he's racist as well, because he doesn't know we have the strategic oil reserve. All we got to do is let go of all our strategic reserves, and we'll be okay. That's what Trump says.
Even if you let your reserves go, doesn't mean that you can actually keep
– It's not a magic fix.
It is literally putting a Band-Aid over a bullet wound.
Absolutely.
Okay? So now we look at clip two, and we're going to start seeing these real impacts. Let's go ahead and roll clip two, because it's going to show you all of the things that you need to be concerned about.
The economic shocks caused by this war will be with us for months.
How we emerge from this crisis will define us for a generation.
Let me give you a few specifics that are – already starting to manifest. Airlines say they cannot afford to operate and are shutting down many of their flights, so it'll be harder to explore the world. European governments are telling their citizens not to travel for vacation this summer. There's just not enough fuel for it. A number of factories are already closing worldwide, especially in Asia. Semiconductor factories in particular are closing, both for lack of power and because semiconductors use helium, which is a byproduct of natural gas production, so is also going away. Importers expect it to become prohibitively expensive to ship some things abroad, so we'll have fewer foreign goods, less off-season produce, and we'll export less too, so fewer jobs. Construction supplies, like lumber, are getting too expensive to harvest or import, which means fewer homes getting built, which means existing homes getting more expensive and harder to afford. Many of the essential components to fertilizer also come through the Persian Gulf, things like phosphorus. There are already fertilizer shortages in Asia, so yeah, there will also be less food in the world. All of these things also contribute to inflation. Prices go up, harder to afford things, our standard of living goes down. And the thing is, even if the war ends today, this process, this demand destruction, is actually going to continue. That's because American, Israeli, and Iranian missiles have left much of the region's energy infrastructure in ruins. Things like refineries, gas terminals that will take years to rebuild, which means years before that oil and gas comes back online. This winter is probably going to bring the first big wave of hardship. Right now, spring and summer is a time of year when countries are usually stockpiling oil and gas so that they can get their people through the cold months. But instead, those countries are burning their stockpiles down to zero. That means December and January are likely to bring a whole new oil shock when a billion people across Europe, Asia, and North America go to turn on their winter stoves or heaters and find that there is not enough gas to go around.
That's right. Do you see? Like we're doing these tactical decisions, knee-jerk reactions, and again, look at the months, the weeks, the years that pass by in which you have no clue. We have no clue what the implications are going to be like.
And well, we do have a clue as to what the implications are going to be like. You know what happens during cold weather? Cold weather tends to kill 10 times as many people as hot weather does, right? Mm-hmm. So the real danger, of course, is the winter and the energy supply, especially for these European countries, places like Germany, places like the UK, where you can barely afford, if at all, to heat your home when it's like sub-zero temperature.
No, excellent point. And, you know, I look at it. And I'm like, this is insane. You know, we look at how in the United States, oh, we've got enough oil here, Rex.
Right, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you just look at the average person now, destroying the infrastructure alone
right.
makes this a different equation than all the other shocks that we've ever had throughout history.
It makes it an energy war.
Yes.
And it means that they have a win condition. This is what I often talk about. It's not something where, like in Afghanistan, it's a bunch of people hiding in a cave that have a rocket launcher, you try to kill them all or whatever. That's not the situation we have at hand. We're fighting a real military that is hell-bent on achieving their one objective, which is to keep the Strait closed. Mm-hmm. Like, period. And it doesn't really matter how many of them you kill ultimately, because there's a million of them and they all got the same goal.
Right. I also want to give people a scenario because some people think, oh, it's just 20%. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm going to give you a scenario. We're going to look at five buckets here. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay. One bucket is gone. Now we only have four buckets.
Right.
Typically with energy and with oil consumption, people are bidding. So if an entire bucket is gone, that means there are more people bidding on less supplies.
Price of everything goes up and massively.
It's the price of everything going up, but then you also have speculative futures spending in which they proactively price in oil and what the supply will be at specific points. Ooh. So the entire equation is all messed up right now.
So you're telling me, Tim, that this is like a musical chairs type of market, right? This is a musical chairs type of market. We're like, oh, we're going to pull this chair away. Like, you can bet on which one we're going to do, though. That sounds like that's
And somebody is making a lot of money. And do you trust these corporations, the ones that are actually controlling the oil prices as well as supply,
to do the right thing?
Do you think they're going to do the right thing?
Well, of course. I mean, they care about people, right? Corporations are people, too. I think that would be their argument. That would be the argument they'd use.
And there's zero chance that they take the fall for any costs that come from this war. They're going to say, we're going to subsidize this somehow, and it's going to come straight out of your pocket.
100%. I want to go ahead and get into this story. ICE arrests niece, grandniece of slain notorious Iranian General Soleimani in Los Angeles. Afshar, 47, entered the U.S. in 2015 on a tourist visa, was granted asylum in 2019, and secured a green card in 2021 from the Biden administration. She's made at least four trips back to Iran since receiving her green card, the Department of Homeland Security said. I think she can stay. What do you think about it? What do you think? I think she can stay here.
I think she's
with
good.
Me in my house. It'll all be okay.
Where is she being deported from?
She's being deported from California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Her online persona was at odds with the Shia Islam, and then there she is on the bed and whatever. But it's going to be okay. We're just going to come over to Rex's house. We're going to weather the storm together. We're going to be all right. Just want to let you know, but this is the type of thing that they're trying to do as like a gotcha. Like Rubio came out and made a statement about this, actually. I don't think we have that queued up. Busted in the land of Satan, ICE nabs Iran's big kin living in L.A. And I think the Iranians are saying that she's not the niece. I'm pretty sure she is the niece. So this is just a very interesting story.
You know that propaganda goes back and forth.
That's
She probably is. You think she's happy to go back home?
Probably not.
She's not dressing like that.
No. Well,
no shot. She's dressing like that.
Let me see what the DHS said. It is a privilege to be granted a green card to live in the United States of America. If we have reason to believe a green card holder poses a threat to the U.S., the green card will be revoked, said Lauren, a DHS spokesperson. The 47-year-old was spotted by the Post Saturday outside her two-bedroom Tujunga area abode, hastily stuffing designer handbags from Louis Vuitton and Hermes into her Model 3 Tesla sedan. Hours after her arrest was publicly announced, and I guess there she is at the gun range. She is in the car.
You know what these pictures make me think of? I mean, an Hermes bag is like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's living in the United States. Where do you think she's getting the money for all this? She's not working a 9-to-5.
That's a good question.
So she is part of the family. That means her family's funneling money, and the average Iranian is struggling. Right?
I guess so. Definitely to the last part. Absolutely, yes. Rubio says revokes green cards of foreign nationals with ties to Iranian terror regime. Last night, the niece went away, but we get the point. Rubio has announced that this is something they're going to do. They're going to get her out of the country. I want to go to this as well. Inmate deaths linked to paper laced with toxic drug in Cook County Jail. When guards at Cook County Correctional Facility found 57-year-old inmate Thomas Dixon dead, slumped out over his cell's toilet in January 2023, investigators were left scratching their heads. They couldn't figure it out. There is no evidence of foul play or a fall that could have killed the prisoner. The only thing out of the norm, tiny strips of singed paper littering around his cell. I said, we need to test this and find out what's going on with it. Cook County Sheriff's Office Chief of Staff Brad Curry recalled about that moment. Eventually, a Virginia lab would confirm that the strips were soaked in a synthetic cannabinoid called Pinoc, which proved lethal when Diskin smoked the paper. Before authorities could stop it, other inmates were dropping dead under eerily similar circumstances. So this is not a new thing, the use of the designer drugs on the paper, but I want to play this clip that I have. I'm not sure where it is on the rundown here. It's a little error on my part. I want to play clip number 5, Grady Judd drug paper, because this is not a new problem. They've been smoking Raid and Roach Motel in the prisons.
Wow.
Let's watch it.
Interestingly enough, they spray it with a variety of things. And some of the things that is most popular, and they really like this better than the K2, is Raid and Roach Motel. Did you hear me? They're spraying this stuff on paper and then either smoking it or eating it in the county jail. Let me say that again, okay? Because normal people can't understand this. For example, the Roach Motel. This is such a wonderful thing. They'll put the Roach Motel in a plastic bag with paper, seal it up, shake it up, get the chemicals to acting, put it out in the heat so the chemicals react, and shake it. And when the chemicals, who would think to do this? When the chemicals were infused on the paper, then they eat it or smoke it. Are you kidding me? Why don't you, try cottage cheese or something on your paper? Or they spray Raid, $4 a can.
Don't do advertisement.
On the paper. We've received information from sources in the jail that said K2's cool, synthetic amphetamine's cool, but what we really like is the Raid. It'll kill you. It kills the roaches. And criminals not too far away.
Okay, we're good. Okay, it kills the roaches and the criminals aren't too far away. The reason why we cover this is, here's the thing. Your life could be a lot worse, right? Our lives could be a lot worse. We could be getting bombed somewhere. Or it could be smoking Roach Motel.
Hey, that K2, I don't want none of that.
Hell no.
None of that.
Hell no, dude.
Give me some of that Raid.
That's right. We want Roach Motel. We want Raid. We'll accept nothing else. That's kind of, maybe Trump is smoking some Roach Motel.
You have to be very bored. Or who even figures out that you could get high off of Raid?
Well, what they are is like they're neurotoxins, and the death of neurons, the excitotoxicity, is actually what dopamine does as well. So it makes you feel good to like destroy your brain. Basically, at a higher level, that's what the explanation is there.
And they probably, do they know they're going to die from taking this?
I don't think they care,
Wow.
Raid is Raid. But
Raid is Raid.
We cover that, and I want to go to one more thing before we close out this segment. Pope Leo, in his first Easter message, Pope Leo warns world is becoming indifferent to violence. Pope Leo warned Sunday that the world is becoming accustomed to violence in his Easter message from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, delivering a rallying cry against war and hatred to the tens of thousands as conflict rages in the Middle East. In his first Ubi et Orbi to the City and the World address or message, the traditional apostolic blessing and message to the world, the American-born Pope called upon humanity to abandon every desire for conflict, domination, and power, and said the world risked becoming indifferent to the deaths of thousands of people, and that hatred and division, that conflict. So let those who have weapons lay them down, he said. Let those who have power to unleash wars choose peace. Not a peace imposed by force, but through dialogue. We cannot continue to be indifferent, he continued, and we cannot resign ourselves to evil. I'm not a Roman Catholic, but I totally agree with this. This is what we need to see.
This is a win. This is a W. Right. I think everybody can support what the message he's saying, and he's saying this from a Christian-backed faith. Right?
Sure. Well, it's time for the people that call themselves religious leaders to really unite and condemn all this. And this is why we're so disgusted to see kind of the megachurch behavior. I see $1,000 seed.
$1,000 seed.
Yeah. Like
you could get a blessing that lasts an entire year.
That's right. Just for a small loan of $1,000 to the church, that's not even a loan because you owe the church the money.
Don't you see people in these Rolls Royces, these pastors?
Right. Let's get that clip up. Let's get the pastor in the Rolls Royce, because this is what American Christianity has kind of turned into. We got to go back to being traditional. I'll find it in the rundown. My bad. That's going to be Pastor Rolls Royce Funny. It doesn't have a number. It's an hour two, segment three. But we talk about this like we're joking, but it's real. Like that Paula White lady, she's walking around doing like Kamehameha.
Ooh, look at this. Hey, that is calling it.
Do we got audio for this one?
Cullinans are expensive. That's like a $300,000 to $400,000.
Well, you know, you got to pull up to the congregation. You got to show the congregation what you got going on, what the seeds have germinated and grown into, and they've grown into a Rolls Royce.
Rex, you know, the Lord told me about the stars, but he wasn't talking about the stars in the sky. He was talking about the stars in the roof.
Ooh.
I'm talking about the stars in the roof. Ooh. That is what Jesus told me. And so you just see these people. And he has the balls to show people a Rolls Royce. That's where your 10% went to.
Right. And it's like you were talking about, like, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what these people are. They come to you and they're acting like they're there to espouse some sort of positive spirituality, some connection to Jesus. But what it really is the connection to their bank account.
Yes.
It's the connection to their bank account.
That video gives me Vietnam flashbacks. Okay. Mm. Because I grew up in a Baptist church.
Okay. Talk about it.
We had a couple of pastors, and not to throw shade at them, but they did this exact same charade.
Right.
Our pastors, I guess they got a brand new Cadillac. It was like a $60,000 Cadillac at the time, which is super expensive. They just pull it up to the church and everybody gets out and they're like, oh my God. And even myself, I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
You know,
the Lord is doing real work there. And then as I grow up, I'm like, wait, hold on. Why did he need a brand new Cadillac?
Right.
Did it bring me any value?
That could have been a program to feed homeless people.
And not just that, the pastor was living literally a mansion on top of the hills.
Yep.
Like, their house was overlooking like all of the city.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, hold on. I was in that propaganda.
I have the house on the hill because it was promised to me. it's wild that we live in the country where people like that. It's not just like some segment of society or whatever. They're in the White House.
Well, Jesus told me.
Yep.
I need to have the suede leather seats.
Yep. Jesus told me you don't need no floor package. You need top of the line heated seats, cooled seats, moving chairs, electric windows, all of it. Praise the Lord. And we're not trying to make light of anything,
we're not degrading the real people.
Yeah, we're not talking about the people that use God's
image. There are people
profit.
Who are scamming.
Yeah.
It is happening, and it's happening in a lot of these communities. I was in a community where this was happening in real time.
And Jesus doesn't care about Cadillac. Jesus doesn't care you got a zero edge, zero gravity pool. Jesus doesn't care about your McMansion. Jesus cares about the little kids and the children you're supposed to have as a human, and also the children we're all supposed to keep alive around the planet. We're not supposed to bomb them and kill them.
Look at
these people. Here's the thing. If this guy's running around getting the $1,000 seed, but he's also against the war. Go ahead.
Did you see this video? And maybe we'll play it later. We're coming up on the break. But this lady had her last $1,200.
Oh, no.
And she walks up, gives him the check of $1,200. And he looks at this. He's like, this ain't enough. The Lord told me $2,000. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. No, have that to me by next week.
I don't want to hear anything about reparations. Sounds like they're happening already with this guy. We'll play the clip coming into the next segment. Really appreciate y'all staying with us. We're going to do deep dive in the next hour, and then we're having Gary Cardone on. You don't want to miss it. You want to stay with us. But let me tell you right now, thealexjonesstore.com. If you're not taking methylene blue, if you're not taking Shilajit, if you're not taking CMOS, it's the place to get it right now. Huge discounts, huge sales, huge offers. Remember, subscribe and save. Okay, you're going to take it again. Methylene Blue has like an 80% reorder rate. Try it, subscribe, and get it again. Thank you so much. Tim Tompkins, Rex Jones, about to be back with a powerful deep dive.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.